As we've been going through Advent here, we've, of course, lit a candle each week. Let me get my flame going here. And the first week of Advent, the first candle that we lit was for John the Baptist, and the other John. It was a long time ago. But to remember to prepare our hearts to receive Jesus. And the second candle that we lit was for the angels who were messengers from God. They were bringing the greatest message ever given. God sent important messengers because it was an important message. We lit the third candle to remember Joseph, two Josephs who were faithful in their obedience to God, faithfully did what they were called to do, and stepped up when they needed to. And so last Sunday, we lit the fourth candle, which is the last candle of preparation, to remember Mary. Mary's song, and in her opening statement where she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," to remind us that we should magnify the Lord in our souls. We should glorify Him. We should rejoice in serving Him and praise Him for all of His mighty works. This morning, in the Gospel of Luke, we have the very familiar Christmas story. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." For pretty much my entire life, I've heard or read that passage of Scripture every Christmas. There's a lot of emotions tied up in it. I remember as a child, my dad read that on Christmas morning before we could open any presents or anything. He read the Christmas story, and we prayed. I can't read that without hearing his voice in the back of my mind. But more than just the emotions and feelings, that's a passage of Scripture that gives me a sense of beginning. It's the start of something. When when I was in high school and college and I was in some drama productions, that sense of stepping out onto the stage at the beginning of a production as the curtain went up and something new and exciting, you knew that I was something of a ham and would have been that sort of person who would be drama. Yeah. Something different every time. But Jesus stepped onto that stage and the stage of the world. And his ministry began there. His mission to bring salvation to the world. We should never forget that he came here for that purpose. That he had that mission to be our Savior. And we should have that kind of awe when we think about God coming to earth to live with us, to deliver us from our sins. We should have that tremendous sense of awe like these shepherds did when they came to the manger and saw the baby there that the angel had told them about. So today, as we're lighting our final candle, this is the Christ candle that we light at the end to remember Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who is Emmanuel, God with us, God taking on the form of a man so that he could die for our sins. As we remember Christmas and we think about all that Christmas is about, Jesus is the thing at the very heart of it. So as we consider Jesus and him being the reason for Christmas and those shepherds coming and standing in awe at the manger, let's stand again and sing hymn number 135, While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks. The Christmas story has its roots in the Old Testament. It's not something that just suddenly sprang into being. The prophets of the Old Testament talked about the Messiah and the hope and the promises of God to deliver Israel and save his people. Isaiah in chapter 9, and I'm picking up verse 2 and then 6 and 7, which we all should know. Verse 2 is, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And skipping on down, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God's plan was pointing toward Christmas, and from Christmas to the cross, and the zeal, the intention and power and desire of God was going to accomplish that. I was real tempted to just stick about 10 hymns in here. We would just sing and go home. But I decided I was going to use some scripture and stuff too. And this is actually the scripture for what I want to talk about this morning. And this is in John chapter 14. You may not always think of this as a Christmas scripture. John 14, beginning in verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And I do have a few words to share, of course. We've been talking over the course of Advent about these pairs. We talked about, two Johns, two angels, two Josephs, two Marys. But today we're down to Christmas, the main event, the culminating thing. And there's no pair that fits, because Christmas is about Christ. And Christ is singular. He is unique. There is none other like him. He's unique in his person. He's unique in his mission. He's unique in his message. The angels, when they came and they spoke to Joseph and in Matthew, they told him that he was to name the baby Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And that's a tremendously profound thing, because he would save his people from their sins. When you get down to what's really going on with Christmas, this is what we're celebrating. We're not celebrating the shepherds. We're not celebrating the angels. We're not celebrating any of those other things that go along with Christmas. What we are celebrating is the fact that God was willing to come down to earth, and he was willing to go to all of that work to save us from our sins, to bring us a means of salvation. God gives us that salvation. He gives it to us on his terms, his way. We don't get to dictate how we're going to be delivered. We can choose to be rescued from our sins, or we can choose to pay the penalty for our sins ourselves. But when Jesus was getting down toward the end of his ministry, and he's encouraging his disciples, that passage that I read, Jesus says that they know how to get to his Father's house. They know how to get to heaven, is what he's telling them. You know how to be saved. You know the way to be saved. And Thomas kind of questions that. We don't really know what or where. But Jesus tells them, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then he adds this at the end. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no attachments to that. There's nothing that's added to it. You've got to come through me, and you've got to put in 240 hours a week of community service. There's nothing like that that goes along with it. It's you come to the Father through me. I'm the way. He's the entire way, the doorway, the pathway, the whole way, all the way. And it's a clear and unequivocal statement that he's the only means of salvation that we have. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. But we can receive it because God sent Jesus to be our Savior. Now, later on, it's after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after the ascension of Christ, and Peter and John have been preaching and teaching, and they kind of get in trouble, and they get arrested, and they get taken before the Sanhedrin. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, we have, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he had been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Peter's statement, "There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved," is, again, that clear statement. There is no other name. There's no other identity, no person, being, power. There is no other means by which we can be saved other than Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus do we have any hope of salvation. So this is Christmas. This is the real message of Christmas, is that only in Jesus is there salvation. Only in Him is there hope. Only in Him is there life. That makes knowing Jesus more important than anything else in our entire life, anything else in our entire world. No matter what is going on in the world, no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what things we deal with, nothing else is as important as knowing Jesus. Nothing matters as much as your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the fact that God came to us, Emmanuel, God with us, that God is with us to save us, to deliver us from our sins. Praise God for His love. Praise God for His gift of salvation. Praise God for His mercy. That's the message of Christmas, the love of God, that we might have life everlasting with Him. We're going to stand for a final hymn here, which is on my sheet. Number 81, "What a Wonderful Savior," because that's really it. What a wonderful Savior we have.